Eichel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is tape number 36 in the series entitled The Superman, The Weak Man, and The Possible Man, recorded live at Eichel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Perek Beis, the 12th chapter of the Tanya, that's on page 32. Or Daf Tazayin Amud Beis. In the previous chapters, 10 and 11, the Alter Rebbe, Reb Shneur Zalman, defined the terms tzaddik and rasha. Tzaddik, which is that state of being that not everyone can reach, and rasha is that state of being that no one should reach. Between the tzaddik and the rasha stands the beinoni, which literally means the intermediate man or the normal man, which is the theme of this present chapter, Perek Beis, and who is, according to the author, the ideal human being, which every human being can strive to be and therefore should strive to be. Let's learn inside. Ba'beinu, the Beinoni is that human being, Shala'aylam Ein Hara, Gever Kolkach, Lichbeisha Sa'ir Ktana, in whom the evil of the animal soul never attains enough power to conquer the small city, Lislabish Beguf Lachtiyai, as to clothe itself in the body and make it sin. The Beinoni, the intermediate man, is that individual that although there is Ra in him, there is negativity embedded within his psyche and character, but that negativity never attains enough strength to actually conquer, even for a moment, the small city, which is the metaphor given for the body. So this small city is never conquered. In other words, the Ra never manifests itself, never encloses itself in the body to make it sin. The Hainu, this means Sheshloi Sheslevushei Nefesh Abahamas, the three garments of the animalistic soul, Sheheim Machshav Dibur Maisa Shemetzada Klippa, namely thought, speech, and action originating in the Klippa. These three garments of the animal soul ain gavrim bay al nefesh alei kizli slabish beguf do not prevail within him, within the Beinoni, over the divine soul to clothe themselves in the body, b'mayach, neither in the brain, or b'peh, nor in the mouth, or b'shara machivarim, nor in any of the other 248 organs, lachtiyam ulatamam chas v'shalim, to cause them to sin and to defile them, God forbid. Rak, only, shloisha levushei nefesh alikis, the three garments of the divine soul, heim levada mislapshim beguf, they alone manifest themselves in the body. What are these three garments? Shehem, machshava, dibur, maisa, shel tayag, mitzvasoter. These being the thought, speech, and action related to the 613 commandments of the Torah. The human being is not a one-souled creature, but a two-souled creature, consisting of an animalistic soul and consciousness and a divine soul and consciousness. Each one of these two souls consists of a whole range of faculties and attributes that make for a functioning persona, specifically 10 attributes, 3 cognitive, 7 emotional and functional. The essence of these two souls varies drastically, where one soul is animalistic, selfish, egotistical and selfish, the other is divine, transcendental, spiritual and selfless, idealistic. Just as the essence of these two souls are different, all their faculties and attributes also vary, respectively. In the divine soul, every one of its cognitive, emotional, and functional faculties is an expression of its essential quality and nature which is transcendental and idealistic. In the animal soul, every one of its attributes and faculties is an expression and a projection of its essential nature and quality, which is animalistic, egotistical, and very earthly. In addition to these faculties, each one of the soul has three garments. The garments are, as garments are in the physical sense, those mediums which are not part of who we are, but it's what we wear, it's what we dress up in. These are the mediums, the instruments of expression. You cannot change your personality by changing your clothes, although some people think they can. But essentially, that's not how one changes their personality. A shirt, or a pair of pants, or a coat might be very beautiful, but they're ultimately external. They're alien to the essence of the person. The same is true concerning the soul. Each one of the soul has an inner personality of what they are like, what this particular soul is like. Its mindset, its philosophy, its attitudes, its perspectives, its desires, its instincts, its ambitions, its perspective, and so on and so forth. And then each one of the soul has its garments. The garments are thought, speech, and action. Thought, speech, and action are not who the person is. That's what the person does. So we have the three categories now. The Tzaddik, the Beinoni, and the Rasha. These two souls are constantly struggling. There's a perpetual battle and struggle, which is the story of every human being's life. It's the struggle between this soul and this soul. When the terminology he gave in chapter 9, which he repeats here again, it's two kings fighting over a little small city. The body is the city, man's life is that small city, and two kings want to captivate it, want to capture it, want that the city should belong exclusively to them. In the context of this struggle, we have the three personalities, the Tzaddik, the Beinoni, and the Rasha. The Tzaddik is that individual who succeeded in making his divine soul prevail over his entire life and character, so that the only king that exists in the city is the divine king, so to speak. He has totally rid the city from any enemy influence. The enemy is not inside of the city, the enemy is not even outside, in the outskirts of the city threatening to come in. He totally eradicated and abnegated the enemy, to the extent that sometimes the tzaddik even transforms the enemy. So there's literally nothing to fear anymore. So the entire life of the tzaddik is an exercise in harmony with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Hashem. The only persona, the only reality that speaks in his life is the Nefesh HaLikis. Not only are his thoughts, speech, and action dominated by the divine soul, the internal structure of his personality, his cognitive, emotional, and functional self is an expression of whose personality? Solely the divine soul's personality. The Rasha stands on the other extreme. The Rasha is that personality who not only experiences the animal soul within his character, but furthermore, allows the animal soul to actually dominate the city at times, to actually conquer the body, to take hold of his life. The Rasha is that individual who allows the animal soul to enter into the city and to conquer. Might only allow him to conquer one corner of the city, but nevertheless, he gets his foot into the city. In the spiritual life of the Jew, it means that the Rosh is that person who not only experiences the animal soul within the depth of his mind and his heart, but even the garments of the animal soul. Even the garments of his life, his thought, speech, and action, can be dominated by the animal soul. His thought, his mind, his mouth, and his limbs and organs can become vehicles and instruments that serve klipa, that serve the shell, the husk of reality. And then you have the Beinoni. So the Beinoni, he says, HaBeinoni hu, that individual who the Ra never manages to conquer the actual city. And he explains that his thought, speech, and action, his mind, his mouth, and all other limbs and organs never serve as vehicles and instruments for the klipa expression they never become levushim that are subservient to the nefesh ha-bahamas' identity and character. In other words, his actual body, beginning from his mind and all other organs, which are the mediums, the tools through which the souls express themselves, thought, speech, and action, these are totally dominated solely by the nefesh ha-likis. It is only the nefesh ha-likis' identity that expresses itself in his practical life, in his real life. Which means that the Beinoni never sins. That's in the negative side and the positive side. Every moment of his life, every behavioral act, every utterance, every thought is consistent with the desire of the creator of the universe, with the desire of Hashem, consistent with the 630 mitzvahs of the Torah. And Alter Rebbe continues, V'lay avar aveira miyamov, the Beinoni has never committed any transgression, V'lay avar lo'ilam, nor will he ever transgress. V'lay nikra lov shem rasha, afilu shah achaz v'rega echad kol yamov. The name Rasha has never been applied to him, however temporarily, not even for a moment throughout his life, not even rega echad kol yamov. You're saying he must be a tzaddik. Why is this a Beinoni? It's not bad, huh? Credit is pretty clear for this man. Never sinned. His entire body and his life is controlled solely by the nefesh ha-likis.
This is
levushim. Huh?
Levushim.
So you're saying he's levushim, controlled by the nefesh ha-likis.
So still things, let's say other fashidim machshavas will come into his mind, but but by a tzaddik, that even the machshavas that have been coming into the mitzvahs, it doesn't.
So he's saying by the Beinoni, essentially there is still another perspective, there is still another perception. There's something there, and that can allow for opposite thoughts to infiltrate his mind. With a tzaddik, that doesn't exist. Yeah, what do you want to say?
Then you make also another statement: what a person is by the Beinoni is what the person is using, let's say, for the levushim machshava deep and meiser is that it's that what he does, it's not what he is. But the tzaddik, it would be that there would be a yichud between what he does and what he, right? What he is. And what
so
he,
you're saying by the tzaddik, there's a total unity between who he is and what he does.
Yes.
But by the Beinoni, there is still a dichotomy
between
who he is and what he does.
Yes.
Very well. Put 12. Yeah. Yeah, it's Amos. But you're saying, Lechora, I mean, where does the Beinoni fall short of a tzaddik? Beinoni, intermediate man. That's A. B, the Alter Rebbe says, the Beinoni has never committed any transgression, nor will he ever commit a transgression. What about tshuva? Why can a person commit a transgression and then do tshuva on the transgression?
That's still going to be something that's going to be.
So 1 second. So if someone sinned in his life, you're saying he can never become a Beinoni again. If he sinned in his life, you cannot anymore apply the words of the Tanya concerning this person, and then what about layaver la'olam? He will never commit a transgression. How do you know? A Beinoni doesn't have free choice. You're saying he's not talking about the practical person? You're saying as the madrega of a Beinoni, as a Beinoni, he never did and he never will. Yeah, what do you want to say? Same thing. Huh? So the Alter Rebbe says here an interesting statement about the Beinoni. He never sinned. And he never will sin. And the term Rasha has never been applied to him, even for a moment throughout his life. So you're explaining that what does the Alter Rebbe mean? Not that a Beinoni never sinned. A person can't sin and then become a Beinoni. And do we know for sure that a Beinoni will never sin? Al tamen ba'atzma chadyay meisach. You shouldn't believe in yourself till the day of your death, our sages tell us. In previous weeks, the Gemara in Brachas Dav Chavtes has been brought up concerning Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who was a tzaddik, who was a Kohen Gadol, who was a high priest, and then at old age he became a tzaduki, a sadusi. So you're saying correctly that Alter Rebbe is not talking about the human being, he's talking about the Beinoni. As a Beinoni, he never sinned and he never will sin. As a human being, it's possible that he sinned before and he will sin again. But what is the concept of a Beinoni? The identity, the character of a Beinoni is such a type of character and personality that sin is out of the question, both in the past and in the future. Okay, yeah. Okay. Negatively. You want this? Oh, what did you say, Rosh Hashanah? Oops. Achmohuz v'yatzmus nefesh alikis. However, the essence and being of the divine soul. Shehein eser p'chineisal. Which are its 10 faculties. As discussed in earlier chapters, each one of the two souls existing in the Jew, the divine as well as the animalistic, consists of 10 attributes and faculties, 3 soul powers of intellect, and 7 emotional and functional faculties. And these faculties are termed usually as the essence of the soul, because they are what make up the inner structure and personality of the soul. So the essence of the divine soul, which are its 10 faculties, they do not hold undisputed sway over the small city, which is of course the body. When you're dealing with the garments of the animal soul, those faculties that express the nature of the souls, the thought, speech, and action of the Beinoni, these are indeed exclusively in the province of the divine soul. It is only the character of the divine soul that expresses itself in the Beinoni's mind, mouth, and other limbs and organs, in the smachshava dibra maisa. But when you're dealing with the essence of the divine soul, in other words, the inner structure of the Beinoni, the nefesh alikis, it exists, it is sensed, but there is also someone else that exists, as he shall discuss later. Ki'im be'itim izamon. Only at specific times. Kimai b'shas krishma tefillah. Such as during the recital of the Shema, or the Amida, the Shemayna Asra. At that time, even in the Beinoni's life, the Nefesh HaLikis is the full master even in his inner identity. What is Alter Rebbe saying? The Beinoni is the ordinary man. The ordinary man in the sense that despite his commitment, his effort, his toil, he still possesses within himself two distinct identities, two souls that have opposing agendas. Each soul has its own type of personality, and therefore its own types of ambitions and instincts and wants and desires and wishes and perceptions and perspectives and so on and so forth. So the Beinoni experiences not only his Nefesh HaLikis, but also his Nefesh HaBahamas. And the Nefesh HaBahamas has a character of its own, which is animalistic, earthly, selfish, and egotistical. What the Beinoni achieves is not to allow these negative impulses and desires to come to fruition, to take hold of his life. He doesn't allow it to be actualized on a behavioral level. For the very identity of the Nefesh HaBahamas exists within him. In the tzaddik's life, the very character of the Nefesh HaBahamas has been eradicated, totally subdued, silenced, or even transformed. Different levels in the tzaddik itself. But the common denominator in all of them is that the tzaddik's life, external and internal, is nothing but an exercise of harmony with his divine soul, and thus with HaKadosh Baruch. So the tzaddik's only experience and perception is a godly perception and experience. The Beinoni is the ordinary man, where his internal experience is dichotomized between a godly perception of things on one hand, and on the other hand, between a very animalistic and egotistical perception of reality, and a very animalistic attitudes, interactions, impulses, desires, and instincts. And none of them are relegated to the subconscious level. They both exist on a conscious level. The Beinoni, however, is extraordinary in the fact that, albeit that he possesses this duality and he experiences it, perhaps on a day-to-day basis or even on a moment-to-moment basis, he never allows the Nefesh HaBahamas' impulses, desires, perspective to dominate his life, to dictate his behavior, to actualize itself in his concrete behavioral life, in his thought, speech, or certainly action. So this is what Alter Rebbe is saying concerning the levushim of the Nefesh HaLikis, the garments of man's life. This, by the Beinoni, belongs exclusive to the Nefesh HaLikis. Over here, the Nefesh HaLikis is the boss. But concerning the essential structure of his psychological and spiritual anatomy, in that domain, there are still two kings, two armies, two forces, and each of them has lots of power. The Nefesh HaLikis is not the only Melech and Moishel in the Eir Ktana. The Tzaddik managed to rid himself from the enemy forces, or even transform it. So it's not there in the city, it's not even there in the outskirts of the city, it doesn't exist. But at the Beinoni, there is another force. He says, besides at certain times, there are specific times, even in the life of the Beinoni, where the Beinoni achieves that state of being, that even in his inherent structure, the Nefesh HaLikis is the only reality that is being expressed, that is being felt. And the example for that is, and that time is, Shas Kriya Shema Tefillah, the time of davening, the time of Krishma, and davening Shmoneh Esrei Amida. That is the auspicious time for the Beinoni to achieve that state of mind which is similar, it's not identical, but it has some similarity to the tzaddik's perpetual state of mind and being. You're saying, why davening, why not learning? Huh? or both. If you would have stopped there, I would have given you one answer. But since you continued your questioning, you said like Rabbah, and Rabbah, the Gemara says, like Pasuk Pumim Megirsi, never cease learning, and in Perek Yud Gimel, we'll soon see that therefore Rabbah was like a Beinoni who davens all day, who's in the same state of davening all day. So there's another dimension that has to be brought out. But Rabbah, let's leave alone for a moment. We'll get to that in Perek Yud Gimel in the details. Concerning the issue of davening versus learning, it will be clarified in a few moments. What is unique about Shas Kriya Shema Tefillah? Shehi Sha'as Meichin de Gadlus L'mayin. At this time of prayer, the supernal divine intellect, the intellect above, is in a sublime state. V'gam L'mata. Likewise below, in this physical world, he sha'as ha'kaysha l'chal adam. This time of prayer is an auspicious time for every man. To introduce a certain deeper awareness into his life. Sha'az, then, during this time, mikasher chabad shalay l'ashem. The Beinoni binds, he connects his Chabad, his cognitive faculties consisting of Chachma, Bina, and Das, to Hashem, Laha Migdaite Bigdula Sein Sev Baruch, meditating deeply on the greatness of the Blessed Ein Sev, Ula Oire Resa'ava Kiris Ve'ej B'chal Hayimani Shebelibay, and arousing through this meditation a burning love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the right part of his heart. As explained in previous chapters, that the Nefesh HaLekis has a unique relationship with the right ventricle in man's heart, and meditation on Hashem's greatness arouses the love of him within one's heart. L'dafka, but this love in turn leads the Beinoni to experience a desire to cleave to him. By means of fulfilling the Torah and its mitzvahs out of love. The realization of the Beinoni that the means to cleave to him, to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can be achieved is only through Torah and mitzvahs, leads the Beinoni to experience at that moment a profound desire to lead a life which is absolutely consistent with the blueprint of Torah, a life of Torah and mitzvahs. Shezeh inyin hamevur b'kriya shma d'raisa. This concept is the essential subject of the Shema, which is a d'raisa, which the biblical commandment enjoins us to recite. Ubirchaisa shalafanel achara shahin midrabano. Likewise, the blessings preceding the Shema and following the Shema, which are rabbinically ordained, they are midrabano, heinachana lekiyam akriya Shema. They serve as a preparation, enabling us to fulfill that which we recite in the Shema, Kama Shekosav Makamacher, as explained elsewhere. What is the Alter Rebbe telling us here?